Will you pray with me? Father, tonight as we gather and we lift our voices to praise you, Father, we are cognizant of the fact that you are an awesome and holy and loving God, and that there is no way that we would have been able to have relationship with you if you had not reached out to us and made us objects of your love instead of objects of your wrath. Father, tonight as we now remember Christ's death, just in the way that he taught us to do that, I pray, Father, that this would not be a ritual that we go through unthinkingly, but that it would be something that we remember the sacrifice that was made, the body that was broken, and the blood that was shed. Father, we love you and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Christ's name, amen. The song we just sung is one of my favorites. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you hear a song, the song that you hear will bring back memories of a specific event or some emotions that you felt at a specific point in time. And this song is one of those for me. There are a couple of things. One is I grew up in a small church in South Dakota. And this is a song that we often sang in that church. And I sang this song often, singing the words at a time when it was not well with my soul. I had not repented of my sins. I had not embraced Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I was in church and I was singing that song. And then I remember at the point when God saved me, when I was in that church, and I was singing that song. It was a whole different experience because the peace of God had flooded into my heart. And as I sang the words of that first verse, it was so rich, it was so meaningful. That song also takes me back to December 1981 to Green Acres Mortuary Chapel. We sang that song as I was grieving over the death of my dad. 1991 was a hard year for us. We experienced the sorrow of separation from the church that we had been a part of for a number of years. We felt compelled to leave the only church that my children had ever known, a church that we really loved, a church that I was privileged to serve as elder of for 6 years. 1991 was a tough year because we experienced the loss of our business. There was a lot of uncertainty. Our dreams of what we had hoped for the future were dashed. I was concerned about how I was going to be able to support my family. Michelle, our oldest, was 11. Marcus, our youngest, had just turned 6 2 days before my dad's death. Yet, despite the sorrow of the loss of our business, despite the heartbreak of the loss of our church, despite the heartbreak of my dad's death, we were able to stand there and sing, "It is well with my soul." Every time I sing that song, my mind and my emotions go back there to that day and that event. Tonight, as we prepare for communion, I would like to share with you something about the life of the man who penned those words. By way of comparison, my sorrow was much less than his. In the 1860s, Horatio Spafford was a successful attorney living in Chicago. He was also a wealthy real estate investor. He was an elder in the Presbyterian church there. He was a supporter of the renowned evangelist D.L. Moody. He and his wife, Anna, had 5 children. Life was good for them. And then 1870 rolled around. In 1870, his only son, at age 4, died from scarlet fever. Then we had the Chicago fire in 1871, in which his real estate investments were wiped out. In 1873, he decided that his family needed a break. So he decided to go over to England with his family. He had some business matters to attend to, so he put his wife and his four daughters on a ship with plans to join them later. 9 days out, that ship collided with another ship, and his four daughters were lost at sea. As he was traveling over to England to join his wife, who was one of those who was rescued, in his grief over the loss of his daughters, he penned these words: "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Tonight, before we partake of communion, I'd like to share some verses with you from Psalm 103. Listen as I read. David writes, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and rich in faithful love. He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve, or repaid us according to our offenses. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." We know that our God is holy and righteous and just. We know that we are separated from relationship with our God because of our sin. Romans 6 tells us the wages of sin is death. But look what this text reveals about our God. Our God is compassionate. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's rich in faithful love. God doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve. He hasn't repaid us according to our offenses. Instead, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. What more could God do? What more could he do? Jesus, God the Son, gave up all the glory of heaven, came to earth, sacrificed his life, paid the penalty for our sins, so we can sing as we did twice tonight. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. If you're here tonight, and by your own admission you would acknowledge that you have not repented, which means turned away from your sin, and committed your life to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it is not well with your soul. You remain separated from God by your sin, and the bad news is you're an object of his wrath. If we have everything in life but God's forgiveness, we have nothing of worth. But if we have God's forgiveness, everything else of value is also promised to us. The good news is this: forgiveness is offered to anyone who will accept it. You need simply to confess your sin, to repent of, to turn away from your sin, and to embrace Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you are here tonight and you haven't done that, and you have questions about what that means, I would love to speak with you after the service and address any questions that you would have about that. In fact, after the service, I'll be over by the table at the left of the door tonight if you would want to stop by. However, if you have not done that, we would ask you to please pass the elements by as they come down your row in a few minutes, because this remembrance of Christ's death in payment for the penalty of our sins is reserved for those of us who are his. We prepare to take the bread now. The bread symbolizes his body, which was broken for us. And then we take the cup, The cup symbolizes his blood that was shed for us. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And as we prepare to take communion tonight, let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord with thanksgiving for his compassion, his grace, his patience, his love, and his mercy. His mercy in that he has not dealt with our sins as we deserve, but that he has removed them from us, as it says in this text, as far as the east is from the west. They've been nailed to the cross. We bear them no more. It is well. It is well with our souls. The servers will come now in service. Please take communion tonight when you're ready.